Time now to go to Sunday school with the professor. Giants third base coach Ron Wotus with Marty Lorenz.
I didn't know you wanted to get involved with the discussion, Mr. Helper.
On your home of Giants baseball.
Good answer. Like the way you think.
KNBR 680, the sports leader. Brought to you by River Islands, one of the country's top-selling master plan communities just across the Altamont in Lathrop. Where else can you live on a lake, next door to a park, or walking distance to your kids' new school? With 10 new neighborhoods, River Islands is the one place you can't afford to miss.
All right, it is Sunday morning, and nothing better than have the professor on joining us from Arizona. Well, how are you?
Marty, I'm doing well. I'm on the field here this morning. We got some optional batting practice, and I'm looking out at Chase Field, and they have yoga on the field this morning. There's probably over 100 people out here, and that's a first. I've never seen yoga on the field, so it's interesting to see.
Yeah, that's sort of what's happening. I think the Giants are going to do something like that. I think there's some promotion with it. Are you a yoga person? Do you do yoga?
I've tried it. Actually, it's really good for you, you know, and it's a lot more difficult than you think it is. I did it with Lori in the winter, and we actually have yoga, our new strength coach, has made it available to the players on the road late mornings. When we're on the road, they'll have yoga where guys can go down and do it. I mean, you know, it's a great way to stretch, and you get in positions, obviously. When you go in the weight room, you really don't stretch and lengthen your muscles out like you do when you do yoga. So I've tried it. I don't do it routinely, but yeah, I've done it before.
I think the problem is getting out of the position once you're in it.
Right? Have you done it, Marty?
Yeah, I've tried it, and that's the deal. You know, you get in these, you know, and it's, I don't know, I'm not that flexible, let's put it that way. And I was good at meditating. I like that part.
Yeah, you know, the problem I had is you get in these positions, and you're supposed to hold them, and I look next to my left and my right, and these women are holding the positions, and I can't stay there but for 2 seconds. So it's not my favorite thing to do. We'll stay away from it for now.
I know. All right. Hey, what an interesting this is what I'm going to ask you first. I'm kind of into the Pujols returning to St. Louis, and, you know, as an Angel. And I was just thinking about it. I watched him hit a home run yesterday, and it was one of those home runs that it would have gone, you know, 600 feet, but for the, you know, where it hit in the stadium. You've coached, managed, whatever, against Pujols before. Tell me the glory days of Pujols, what it was like going against him.
Well, yeah, that was a great return, and it was great to see. It's hard to believe it's been so long since his return back to St. Louis that the team never had to go back to play. But he was at top of the game. I mean, he was Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire, Albert Pujols. Not only was he a great player and an extremely good home run hitter, he was a great RBI guy. He had a nose for the RBI. And, you know, the other thing that made it even more difficult is St. Louis had a good team. I mean, you know, they were at the top of their game when he was there, and he was a big reason for that. And if you're going to be in the playoffs, you'd have to go through Pujols, La Russa, Molina, you know, to get to the – or Matheny was there at that time. You were going to have to play that team. You were going to have to contend with Albert Pujols, where you always knew where he was in the lineup, and he was the one guy you did not want to beat you.
Yeah, great, great hitter, and just to see him hit the home run, he hit into Big Mac land yesterday,
yeah.
I think, and it just made me think of Vladimir Guerrero and the home run derby in our park, and just these guys, you just watch him take batting practice, and you just say, there's no park that can hold him, and that's what he looked like yesterday, so I thought it was interesting. St. Louis fans are great. You know, you've been in that ballpark so many times, it's that sea of red. And they really embraced him, and he hit the ball out, and they went crazy.
Yeah, you know, I remember my first time going to the big league park there. It was when they had the AstroTurf at the old stadium. It was 1982. And the thing that really stood out was the Cardinal fans. You know, the hotel we stayed at was right across the street. And it's a sea of red. There's so many baseball fans, and they appreciate good baseball, not just their home team. They acknowledge visiting players when they deserve acknowledgement. And it's really great to see. And, you know, I'm thinking about Pujols a little bit more that you spoke to him. I think that what made him really, really special is he wasn't just a power hitter. He was a good hitter and a tough out. Yeah. You know, teams shift on him today, and they did back then. But, again, the nose for the RBI, he would poke that ball to second base and take that base hit when it was a big RBI out there. And that's a tough guy to contend with because some of the home run hitters today, they're all or nothing. But he definitely wasn't. He would take the base hit and use the whole field when he needed to. Great player, and it was nice to see that happen there in St. Louis for him.
Yeah, very good. Good part of good images. I appreciate that. You know, these bunt plays have been fascinating for me the last few days. Of course, you had Bellinger crashing, and you had the crazy replay on Thursday night, which we're going to touch on in a second. But did they have the second baseman crash yesterday? Arizona?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think I've ever seen that before. What was that all about?
It's very unique. You know, Chicago will put their second baseman at first base and have the first baseman crash and get down the throat of the pitcher. But Arizona was having the second baseman come in and crash, you know, which makes a little bit of sense in the fact that he's more agile and quicker than the first baseman most of the time, and the third baseman's crash. And the only issue with it is it's a high-risk play. You may keep the batter from bunting, but if he does swing, there's holes all over the field. And, you know, they ran it one time against us, and Beattie was hitting, who's not a bad hitting pitcher. They didn't want us to sacrifice the guy, and that's where I went down and told them, hey, if that second baseman is charging like that, you have to swing because there's nowhere to bunt the ball, but all of second base is open, most of shortstop and third is open. I mean, all you got to do is hit the ball on the ground, and now you got something going. And what we got out of it with a walk because we let him hit. He ended up walking to put it first and second, no out. So it's aggressive defensive play, very aggressive. Early in the game, and you know, you run a little risk when you get that aggressive. If the pitcher can put the ball in play, it might backfire on you.
Yeah, do you guys run it? I don't know if I've seen you guys run it.
We run crash plays where the first baseman and the third baseman crashes and he's down your throat. We don't run it with the second baseman.
Right.
The second baseman holds his ground in the middle of the field in case they do swing, and then he makes his way first base. At least you got a person standing in the middle of first and second and an infielder standing in the middle of second and third, which covers the field a little bit if the guy decides to slash. Because when the corners come down your throat, you know, a lot of pitchers in this league, the managers will have them slash because there's nowhere to bunt the ball. And that's the way you're taught. When those guys are down your throat, you don't want to bunt it into them. You want to go ahead and swing away. So we do the more conventional crash play. That's the first time I've seen it from a team in the big leagues having the second baseman crash.
Yeah, good stuff for the professor on a Sunday morning. Hey, you're on your game early. Very good. You must have done yoga today. Did you do yoga this morning?
Yeah. I just did one little stretch, and then I was done.
Okay, all right. Thursday night, and, you know, Thursday night was, you know, the comeback in the ninth inning. And, again, this is a team that does not quit. I say they come to play every day, and I think it's a credit to you guys for preparing them. But Tyler Austin laid down a bunt, and I said to myself, Woe is going to go and talk to him. And what is Woe saying to him? Because Austin is very rarely bunts. So share with us, what did you say to Austin before the bunt? Then we'll get into the play at third.
Yeah, well, in that scenario, you know, Austin has never bunted. We haven't seen him bunt, and we don't know what kind of bunter he is. And Boach gave me the sign where he was thinking about having him bunt. So we decided to go down and talk to him and see if he's comfortable doing it, if he felt like he can get it down. Look, guys that have never been in that situation, it's not easy for your first time in the big leagues to go ahead and bunt. So I just discussed it with him a little bit to see where his head was at, and he was comfortable getting the bunt down. So he did. And, you know, if I got that funny look in the eye or if he looked at me kind of weird or didn't think he could do it, he probably wouldn't have bunted in that situation. And it was a good call by Boach. He got the ball down, and, you know, they weren't expecting the bunt. And kind of the mistake of not being in that scenario where it backfired on us a little bit. I mean, the bottom line is Bellinger made a tremendous play, but you know, usually when you have first and second, you want to thread the needle and bunt the ball to third because the third baseman has to vacate and come get the ball. The first baseman's crashing. But in this scenario, he has the element of surprise. They weren't expecting him to bunt. And Bellinger, he was back. He was behind the first baseman. And he squared a little bit too early. So he turned around and squared a bunt. And here comes Bellinger, who we know can run. And he's going like a, you know, bat out of you know where. And was able to get all the way down there. If he waited till the pitcher came set before he squared, there would have been no question a successful bunt. And I'll just add this. I don't want to get long-winded, but you know, if you have a poor fielding first baseman and a third baseman, you know, you want to bunt the ball to the poor fielder at. You can bunt the ball to the poor fielder at first base, even in that scenario, because you got Jansen throwing 93-mile-an-hour cutters away. It's a very difficult pitch to bunt to third base. Mm-hmm. You really got to get on the plate and you got to thread that needle. So I guess what I'm trying to tell you is if you don't have a good fielding first baseman and he's not crashing, you could kill the ball to first base or kill it to the pitching mound, and it's just as successful as threading the needle to third base. And but, again, you have to square a little bit later, and there's no way Bellinger would have been on his throat.
Ah, great. I'm so glad I asked you the question. Great, great explanation on that because Bellinger was all over it, and I wondered I said, boy, the crashing on Austin. All right, very good. Very good. So, all right, so the play happens at third. Yours, look, you could be an umpire. You're that close to it. Was it clear to you that he beat it?
Well, I'm glad I'm not an umpire. I'll say that first and foremost. It's so bang-bang. It's hard. I mean, it's a flip of a coin to know if he's out or safe, and I guess that's where the beauty of replay comes in, which I don't say very often. But unfortunately, the faults with replay showed up, and everybody thought he was safe. And, you know, the call on the field stood because they couldn't be conclusive. They just need to use their instincts and look at those angles and decide if they really thought he was out or safe instead of hiding behind the definitive pictures on the replay to say, no, we can't determine whether he was out or safe.
Mm. Yeah, crazy. Well, I know it was an emotional end to the game, but what a comeback in the ninth inning. And you're having a good week. You got guys scoring from all over the place. Pilar's your best friend.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Pilar and Dickerson has given us a shot in the arm. You know, he had that first game with the almost hit for the cycle and all those RBIs. And you know, I told him yesterday before the game, I said, you know, hey, don't worry. I expect you'll have a better game today than you did yesterday, and got a chuckle out of him. And then he came back yesterday and gave us another shot in the arm. So he's off to a hot start. Pilar continues to, you know, do some damage on the field. And you're right. The guys are playing better. You know, we really wanted to get that game in L.A. We would have been 2-2. You know, get out of there with a split against the best team going right now. And now we got the first two here. But anyways, we need to win one more here today and go home feeling a little better about ourselves.
Yeah, well, what is it about Dickerson? What do you see on that this guy brings to the table that all of a sudden, I mean, does he have the swing? What's going on with him?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know the animal, you know, real good yet. I mean that the person, not in the literal sense of the word animal.
Right.
I don't know everything about him, his mindset, you know, and all that. But what I do see is a pretty good approach at the plate. He's in a good position. He gets started on time. Got a decent swing. And we saw him a little bit when he was in San Diego. And I know Alonzo Powell knows him well and liked him. He has strength. He's got a nice setup. It looks like he's got a nice approach to the ball. His problem has been staying healthy.
Mm-hmm.
He just has not been able to stay healthy. He's had a couple surgeries. He broke in 16 and is having injuries. So, you know, we'll see, you know, a season does not make, you know, 2 days does not make a season. But so far, I like his approach, and I like what we see, and he's helped us win two ball games, no question about that.
Yeah, come on, it's great. The whole dugout, they got his cheer going. They got all that.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. They do. We can't repeat that. Yeah, they do have his chant going.
Oh,
yeah.
Wait till tomorrow. Come on, wait till he is his first plate appearance tomorrow. You think 35,000 aren't going to scream that out? Come on, we're in San Francisco.
You think a T-shirt's in the works, huh?
The whole deal. It's all, okay. This is all, this is, and good for, it's good. It's good entertainment. So that's fun.
Yeah.
I'm glad you've had a good weekend down there. Hey, talking about River Islands, because, you know, you and I always love to touch on it. Today is Farmers Market Day. It's in full swing. Movie nights in the park happening. Well, it's just summertime, and, you know, we go out to River Islands during the year, and of course, it's different in Northern California, but boy, it's summertime, and you live there. You got everything in front of you. Isn't it amazing?
Yeah, the layout is really, really good. You know, I mean, I love a farmer's market myself. You know, what's better to do on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday evening? You know, sometimes they have it on Wednesday as well to go over there. But the layout, you can walk to everything. And the Boathouse Restaurant, which had been voted the number one, you know, deck dining in the area, You got the Boathouse Restaurant there with a beautiful deck, and you got the bocce courts right next to it. You can walk, not the bocce ball courts, the bocce courts that you can go over there and play some bocce ball, and you know, the sand volleyball is right by the Boathouse Restaurant. So everything's right there. You can have a little entertainment and have a little food. So they got a nice layout of that community up there.
And very special, riverislands.com. Absolutely check it out. Will and I have been out there. Have you played bocce?
Yeah, we talked about that once.
I've played.
I played a little bit. You do? I know. Well, shoot, you're from Brooklyn. Who doesn't play bocce from Brooklyn?
Yeah, I think I played. Well, of course, we played all sorts of games on the street, but I think I played in Miami Beach. I think in Flamingo Park in South Beach, I think they had bocce courts. I think I played it there.
No, I bet you did, because all the New Yorkers, they go down to Florida, they bring it with them. They bring it with them down there.
That's true. We do bring that, and we bring baseball with us, and that's the whole
deal.
That's
right.
That's New York baseball.
That's right.
Hey, thanks for taking the time to chat. This is an interesting discussion this morning. I appreciate it. Very good stuff, and I'll see you tomorrow.
All right, Marty, enjoy being with you. And I'm going to jump in here and do some of this yoga. I sent you a picture if you want to take a look.
I'll put it on Twitter. All right.
Okay.
Take care, Will. Thank you. All right, that is the third base coach of the Giants. Boy, great stuff on a Sunday morning. That was good stuff.